This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg. Coming up in the second half of today's show, Main Street Eats with Sue Balcom as she talks all things Thanksgiving. Because, of course, it is Thanksgiving this day when we gather to talk about what we are thankful for. And today we are going to share an episode from people who are experiencing Thanksgiving for the very first time. Lucia Duncan and Brittany Thomas from Zoomix Radio share this piece with English language learning students from East Boston High School.
This is Elias. I am from El Salvador. Thanks for listening to our radio show, Gratitude Across Borders.
We are a student from East Boston High School. We are immigrants from El Salvador, Honduras, Colombia, and the Dominican Republic. We are learning English. My name is Jocelyn. I am from El Salvador.
You'll hear about our first time celebrating Thanksgiving, what we are thankful for, and how we celebrated thanks in our own countries. Also, interviews and songs about gratitude and thank you letters. First, we will listen to Jorge interview Vanessa about her first Thanksgiving celebration in the United States.
How did you celebrate your first Thanksgiving?
It was beautiful because almost all of the family was there. We were united, giving thanks for everything that we have.
What did you like most about the celebrating?
All of my family was there for the first time together.
Next, we will listen to Jefferson, Eduardo, Glendy, and Jocelyn talk about what they are thankful for.
I thank God for everything He has given me, for my health, for my work, for my student, for the wonderful parents He has given me, and because they have given me everything I need. Thanks to my parents and to God, now live in this country.
I thank God for being here with my parents. I am also grateful to my parents for bringing me here and giving me the opportunity to have a better future. I am also thankful to my teacher for helping me to learn English.
El amor y el dolor está siempre en mi país, cruzando las tres fronteras para poder llegar aquí. El amor y el dolor está siempre en mi país.
I am thankful to God because He lets me run it with my mother again after 9 years. Without seeing her, I missed her love because there wasn't anyone to help me in difficult moments who could make me smile.
I give thanks to my parents, although I miss my parents a lot. They are the reason why I keep fighting and why I can continue forward to be able to help them too.
Now Allison will sing a song of thanks.
I choose this song that is about gratitude to God when I was a girl. I listened to it at home in a church. It's called Thank You, My Lord, by Marcus Witt.
No sabré agradecerte lo que has hecho por mí. Solo puedo darte ahora mi canción. Gracias, gracias, Señor. Gracias, mi Señor Jesús.
But how do we express gratitude if we don't have as beautiful a voice as Alison?
Marlene will ask Josue and Bianca how they do it.
How do you say thank you to others?
I give thanks with a big smile. I go behaving well for my parents and returning I for.
I thank others by behaving well and being nice. That why I say thanks depends on the favor that someone does for me.
How do you notice any difference between countries in how gratitude is expressed?
In my country, I think it's good with more care and friendliness, and are in the United States is more simple. People only say thanks, nothing more.
In my country, I handshake show gratitude. For example, in the United States, people shake hands and are friendly.
Thanksgiving is new to us, but we also celebrated thanks in our own countries. Here is Marian, Douglas, and Gerson.
What is a celebration on thanks in your country?
In El Salvador, Mother's Day is celebrated day 10 of May.
How is it celebrated?
Expressing more love that I usually do, giving her a gift like a present, a dress, or a cake.
What do you give it thanks for?
For having brought me to the world, and for having let me be the person that I am until now. A mi madre querida.
I decided on this song because I like its meaning and it represents what I feel for my mother in my heart. The song is by Pedro Fernandez.
Por eso, madrecita, este día de tus santos, las estrellas del cielo brillarán en tu honor.
What is a celebration of thank in your country?
In my country, El Salvador, we celebrate Independence Day.
How is it celebrating?
With a parade of people in all of the roads of El Salvador, local cooking and traditional dancing.
What do you give thanks for?
For the independence of El Salvador.
In El Salvador, Father's Day is celebration on June 15.
How is a celebration?
In our family, we are celebration Father's Day together. The party was for three dads, my two grandfathers and my dad. In general, we would go to celebration on the beach or in my house.
What do you give thanks for?
We're thankful that our father are alive and in good health.
We regret to inform you that sometimes we should have shown more gratitude. Now we hear interview with Joali about this.
What is a situation in which you should have been thankful but you weren't?
I regret not having been thankful to my sister because I was very rude when she was telling me something I didn't have the opportunity to tell her how much I love her before she died 2 years ago.
Next, we will listen to the song Gracias a la Vida, Thanks to Life, composed by the Chilean singer Violeta Parra.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el cielo que en todo su ancho graba noche y día, grillos y canarios, martillos, turbinas, ladridos, chubascos y la voz tan tierna de mi bien amado.
And to finish our show, we have thanks you letters, many written to people across borders.
Hi little sister, how are you? I hope when I gave you the following. I love you, I want to tell you that I miss you a lot. I am counting the dates until I can return to see you and the whole beautiful family again. The truth is that makes me cry to think of having left you. I miss you and hope that you are reading this. Hopefully it makes you happy to read this. I love you, Sebastian.
Dear mom, grandpa, and grandma, I am thankful to you for having let me come to this country with my dad. I am as thankful to you for dealing with the papers to let me come here with my dad, and I hope to return Honduras to see your son. Love, Samir.
Dear mom, I give thanks to you because you have been with me all the times that I have needed. You have been there since my first fall when I was a baby. You are always there when I am sick. You have taken care of me. You have stayed up with me many nights. Mom, I love you. You are one of a kind. Thank you for having me in your belly for 9 months. I love you, Marlene.
Dear mom, I have not realized many things because I was always focusing what I did not have, but not I see. I am lucky because I have good health, a sheltered bed to sleep in every night, a beautiful family, the opportunity to study, and peaceful life. I thank you, love, Edward.
Rosendo, Joaquin, and Mario, thank you to my brother for supporting me and every day you have given me every day that is needing here in school. You have given my food and a bed, a roof, and a place to live as I have reached my dreams to be here in the United States. Thank you too and my family for supporting me and every day. With love, Jorge.
Dear Mr. O'Hara, thank you for giving me the opportunity to go to the radio to record program and also for teaching us. Sincerely, Kevin.
Thanks you for listening to our radio show, Gratitude Across Borders.
I am from Dominican Republic.
I am from Colombia.
I am from Guatemala.
I am from El Salvador.
I am from Honduras.
That piece was produced by Lucia Duncan for Zoomix Radio and was made available to us through the Public Radio Exchange. The project was funded by Ed Vesters and the Boston School Arts Expansion Initiative. Sue Balcom is next.
Hi, I'm Jack Zaleski. I'm the former editorial page editor and a current columnist for the Forum of Fargo-Moorhead, and I've been a newspaper man for life. But no matter what the media, and public radio is included, journalism is a vital pillar of democracy. We're seeing what happens with a superpower whose leader goes unchecked by a free and independent press. We've seen democracy and the media under attack right here in this country. It is always important to support your trusted sources of journalism. So keep reading and subscribing to your area newspapers, digital or in print. Become a member of your local public radio station, Prairie Public. And we journalists will continue to seek the truth no matter what we uncover.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg with Craig Blumenschein. And once a week on Main Street, we also welcome Root Cellar Sue from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellar's farm, to talk about food. And this week's an awfully big week to be talking about food. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm
favorite gonna... holiday,
yeah,
Sue.
Overeat.
That's not specific to Thanksgiving. But
you're probably right there, too, because Christmas will be following shortly thereafter.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully we won't get stormed out again like we have the past couple seasons. I've had to postpone Christmas with my kids several times the past 2 years. So I remember one Thanksgiving. It was like 75 degrees.
Wow. I remember people mowing their lawns. Yeah.
Yeah.
So not the norm, though.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll take what we can get as long as we get turkey.
Yeah. Are you, Sue, sort of a traditionalist when it comes to Thanksgiving food?
Absolutely. You know, and it used to be when we were growing up, Thanksgiving was the only time we ever got turkey. You know, it was not something that you could – I think you couldn't even buy it in the store. But I'm reminded about Thanksgiving nearly every day of my life because we have a – let's see, what do they call them? We have a pack of turkeys that live by our house. I mean, they are just, there's so many of them.
Is that a gaggle?
That's why I paused. I'm like, what are turkeys called? A catch or a clutch? Yeah. Or something?
Collective noun
like
turkeys.
Well, I got to know this, okay?
That, yes. This, a rafter. A rafter,
a
of,
rafter
turkeys.
Wow. Of turkeys.
Or, but if it's wild turkeys, it's called a flock. Domesticated turkeys referred to as a rafter or a gaggle.
Okay, well, now I have a flock of turkeys.
A bunch can also be called a run of turkeys. And if it's just male wild turkeys, you'd call them a posse. So anyway,
how about a bunch of turkeys?
So many collective nouns.
If you've ever seen
this is an ostentation
turkeys
of
mating?
Collective nouns. It's fascinating.
The posse comes around. And I'll tell you what, those guys are, they're just brain dead. I'm serious. The way they act, and then they're fluffing up their feathers, and these ladies are just like walking away from, like, we don't have anything to do with you. And people are always like, you should, you know, have one of those for Thanksgiving. But I've only heard that you can make soup out of a wild turkey most of the
time.
Why
would that be?
They're kind of tough, skinny birds, and, you know, their diets vary. I think they're carnivorous, and they will eat anything. They'll eat the grubs out of my garden. They'll eat ticks. They'll eat berries. We'll put grains out for them once in a while when we feel sorry for them. And then in the wintertime, they will come outside the house and they will scratch in the driveway looking for those little tiny pebbles that they eat to help them digest their food. But we definitely, even though we watch them every day operate, we still like to see them on our plate at Thanksgiving time.
Craig, what's usually on your holiday table?
Absolutely Thanksgiving. It's turkey. There's just no other question about it. Now, the question becomes, what about holidays, you know, down the road? Like Thanksgiving we have, okay, and then Christmas, New Year's, Easter. Well, if you're my mother, it's also turkey, turkey, turkey. And it was just like, oh, God.
You get tired of it.
Oh, we sure do. But that's what she loved to do, these 22, 23-pound turkeys. And then, of course, you'd eat them for a week.
Yes, the leftovers are the best part because, you know, we talked about broth and stock. Turkey bones make the best soup stock.
Yeah,
oh,
if you have a big enough
bowl,
pan for them.
But because of that, then my wife has a only on Thanksgiving rule.
Oh, she does, huh?
Which
so
I'm
then
fine
what do
with.
You have for Christmas, Hank?
Prime rib.
Prime rib. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We never got that fancy. My kids wanted tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches one year. And I'm like,
I'll take the grilled cheese there. Yeah,
I make a divine homemade tomato soup, which is what I think they wanted.
Is yours cream-based or wine-based?
Cream-based.
I figured.
It only has four ingredients in it. So,
cream,
I can my own tomatoes.
What I'm looking forward to, though, Sue, is your favorite way to bake your turkey.
Spatchcocking.
All right.
Oh, no, I take that back. I have two favorite ways to do turkey. As you know, spatchcocking is cutting the spine out or cutting the backbone out and butterflying your turkey. And then you lay it on a rack and you put your stuffing ingredients underneath it so all that good stuff drips into your stuffing. And the stuffing gets all crunchy on the bottom because it's closest to the heat. Oh, my gosh, it's divine. And it cooks so much faster.
Oh, sure.
But my mother... And this is why they asked me to make turkey for, my son hosts it, but I got to make the turkey for him. My mom, who was a butcher, that was her trade after we moved to Gackle, would cut this turkey up like you would cut a chicken up. And she would soak it in a brown sugar and salt brine overnight. Hmm. Then rinse it off, dip it in, of all things, Bisquick, because she was a woman of the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
And fry it in a pan, you know, fry it in some oil in a electric fry pan, which is one of those things that you guys should all have in your house, and then put it in the roaster and bake it.
Mm.
And, oh, my gosh, it is to die for.
What is your take on brining?
We brine a lot of stuff because my mom brined a lot of stuff. And so when you're like making it in your smoker, let's say, you might want to, if you have a container large enough, is brine that turkey.
And
first.
I've done that twice in my Traeger, and it's worked out marvelously.
Makes
very
them
good.
So moist, and that's what happens with this brine turkey. Is it's so moist, and you can just put it on the table. You don't have to find someone who knows how to carve a turkey, because that's art in itself.
Oh yeah, that one's really hard.
And to get, you know, everybody the right piece of meat, you know.
It's my job on Thanksgiving.
Is it? Yeah, well, absolutely. Good for you. Do you have a nice sharp knife?
I have a nice electric knife that I use, and it works out very well.
I have a good knife, but I hide it from everybody.
Smart.
Sue, can I ask you this? Because I don't actually know why I do this, or why I don't do this, but I just bought my first set of big girl knives, and I will not allow them to go in the dishwasher.
Absolutely.
Is there a reason?
Not. Okay. Absolutely not. I use my good butcher knife. I wash it. I dry it off. I clean it with a microfiber. I put it back in the sleeve, back in the box, and hide it.
Okay.
But yes, you should not put good silverware in your dishwasher, and you should not put good knives in your dishwasher. I mean, even your other knives you shouldn't. For some reason, that causes that staining, and it just isn't good for the metal in your knives. I don't put my pots and pans in the dishwasher either.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why they have a pots and pans setting.
I know,
so
it's stupid.
Back to turkeys real quick. I'm curious. Have you ever deep fried one, and did you like it?
I have had deep fried turkey, but I do not like to deep fry because it's such a pain in the you know what. But they sell certain equipment to do that now. But the oil's got to cost you more than your entire Thanksgiving dinner. they sell that in kegs.
yeah.
Because you need that much.
There's
but
always
yeah,
some
good.
Explosion on YouTube the next
But day. Not your preferred way of cooking a turkey.
No, I've eaten it, but I would never do that. My son has a, I don't think it's a Traeger, but he actually, I think, smoked a turkey last year.
Oh,
it
smoked
was really
poultry is really good.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope he does that again. I would buy him the turkey. Now, that's another thing. If you can at all possibly get a homegrown turkey, the flavor is phenomenal. And it's so different from a butterball. You know, they baste a lot of those meats. They baste a lot of chicken breasts and things, which when you cook them, you'll see all that liquid come out of them. That's not normal. That's
is basting. Yeah, that's just an addition of hot butter, right? No,
well,
what am I thinking of?
Yes, or you take a baster and you take the juice from the bottom of your pan and kind of put it over the top to keep keep your
with
white
that giant
meat.
Syringe looking
right
yeah, big,
kind of plunger.
But my mom, you know, they have needles and they can
inject
things in there.
My mom never injected, but she did baste and she would cook it. She'd put it in like at midnight. And get up and
slow
baste
cook
a couple
and
times.
Baste
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Wow. That's why the spatchcocking, which cuts your cooking time down considerably, and then because your turkey is flat and your wings are tucked underneath, it's a better equalizer when you're baking your turkey. And you bake it at like 400 or 425 or 450 degrees.
That will
degrees.
Be quick.
Oh, my gosh. But it is so – everybody wants to know why my chickens have such moist breasts. And I'm like – well, let me explain how this works. You first got to have a really sharp knife or a sharp kitchen shears will work to cut down that backbone. But I have to tell you that the pilgrims, of course, which is kind of why we do Thanksgiving, supposedly, turkey is the only thing that we eat that they ate. Everything else we made up along the ways when they finally made Thanksgiving a holiday.
1863.
Oh, gosh, he remembers that. Isn't it 1621?
No, Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, Abraham Lincoln.
Signed
oh,
the
you
proclamation
mean the proclamation,
during this,
right?
During the Civil War, sure.
Yeah, well, many, many ancient cultures had traditions of coming
harvest
together.
Meals.
Yes.
Yes,
and,
that's
and being
what it was.
Thankful. Maybe it wasn't a federal day off.
Well, we got to have those, too, even though I never, ever did.
I actually thought the National Football League created Thanksgiving when I was a kid.
Oh,
so.
Maybe, yeah. but there was, before I worked for the state in North Dakota, I didn't realize there were so many federal holidays because newspaper people have to work no matter what.
Right.
But, yeah, first the pilgrims, they ate the turkey, but that was, what, 1621, I think? And it was a 3-day festival, which I'm all about that because turkey, cranberry sauce, and cream cheese on bread is a wonderful sandwich, leftovers.
Minus the cranberry sauce, sorry.
Oh, man, I can't live without cranberries. I make cranberries when I make chicken a lot because I love
cranberries. So does the rest of my family.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Are you making your cranberry sauce from scratch?
Absolutely, because there isn't a cranberry in the world shaped like a can, okay? Oh, my gosh, people. Yeah. But I remember that as a kid, you know, the jellied cranberries, cut those slices, you know, which might make it easier for sandwiches. But, oh, man, I love fresh cranberry sauce. Yeah. And I keep cranberries. I buy them in the excess and keep them in my freezer because they're only usually on sale or readily available this time of year.
Mashed potatoes on your Thanksgiving plate, because I don't see it on this list here.
You know what? Mashed potatoes are a given. Okay. They are on my plate weekly. I grow my
own. Good
for
you.
You know?
Sure. Yep.
So we eat a lot of mashed potatoes.
So you don't do a sweet potato then?
Oh, God, but I love sweet potatoes.
Okay. But you do mashed on Thanksgiving.
I do both.
Or a mashed sweet potato?
Well, no, the sweet potatoes are good roasted with olive oil and salt, or butter and salt and pepper. That's the way I like a good sweet potato.
Don't do the marshmallow.
Oh, my God, that's sacrilegious, you guys. And a canned yam or sweet potato, it's kind of like the difference between fresh spinach and Popeye spinach. There's no comparison. You know, like I would never eat spinach out of a can, but I love spinach. You know, fresh spinach leaves. But, yeah, the candied version, ugh. do you use marshmallows on your – you don't use marshmallows, do you?
I make homemade marshmallow fluff. And I use homemade marshmallow fluff whenever I make sweet potato fries. I happen to have an excessive amount of marshmallow fluff this year because I sort of forgot how much a small batch makes. So, yes, we will be using marshmallow in some context. It might be on the sweet potato pie. We're still deciding. We might just eat it, you know, out of the jar.
Sweet potato pie is amazing. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. But I've never made homemade marshmallows before. I might have to try that.
Yeah.
That
They're
might
delightful.
Change my mind.
They are, yes. Yes. You'll never eat a store-bought marshmallow again.
Because I love marshmallows. I eat them out of the bag. Like, I love marshmallows. Mm-hmm. And
right. And if you're just making the fluff kind, it takes way less time. If you don't need it to be the shape of a marshmallow. Yeah. And then you can also skip the gelatin if that's a concern.
Well, it would be for a vegetarian.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I always make a jello mold at Thanksgiving just because.
Do you do like the layered jello?
Oh, my gosh. And I have like a Santa shape, and I have a wreath. And I have a flag, and I have one for probably every holiday, now that you think about it.
A flag. Do you make jello molds for Flag Day?
Fourth of July.
Oh, okay.
Fourth of July.
Forgot about that.
Do you have multicolored jello in your...
Yes,
oh, my
red,
goodness.
White,
oh,
and blue.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Of course.
I don't know that I've ever seen that in a mold.
Right?
Yeah. That's awesome.
And my kids, they'll eat them. Oh, and then I have these vintage jello molds. The individual servings, and it has the little they're like a mountain of jello with little ridges in them, and then it's has a, I think it actually says jello on the top, like a little imprint there. And I made a whole big plate of those, you know, and it's like they're scared to take them, and I'm like, take one, eat one. If they get too close to your mashed potatoes, though, they kind of melt into them.
Yep.
And that's no fun.
Nope. Keep that separate.
But you could use – there's a cranberry walnut mold, you know. So cranberries can be more versatile than just cranberry sauce. And, of course, some people put orange zest. Remember we talked about everybody owning a zester? This is a good time to use it when you're making your homemade cranberry sauce. So,
Green bean casserole is popular at our house. Is that at your house?
Absolutely. Yeah. My daughter makes it from fresh beans and makes her own cream and mushroom soup. That's how carried away
nice.
We can get.
Oh, I bet that's great.
But the onion rings on the top are the best part, I think. So definitely, definitely.
What's in your stuffing, Sue?
Okay, stuffing. There's a fine art to that.
Well, especially the way you make it. You were talking about
that's
earlier,
right? And so I take the neck from the turkey and the butt from the turkey. What did my mom used to call that? The butzel or something like that. And cut that off, and I cut the wing tips off, and take the liver out and save the liver and the gizzard and grind that up really fine.
You grind up the gizzard?
You can grind up all that organ meat and grind that up really, really fine. And then I make a stock out of the chicken wing and the neck and all that part, simmer that down so that I have a really – get all the flavor out of that turkey I possibly can. And then there's onions and celery and eggs and dried sourdough bread because that makes really good, you know, good crunchy – I love crunchy stuffing. Mm-hmm. You can have the soft stuff, but I like the stuff around the edges. And if you spatchcock a turkey or you cut it up like my mom does, we always cook our stuffing off to the side or under that turkey, and then the edges get really nice and dark. But you mix all that up. You mix your breadcrumbs up, which you have to start this the day in advance, of course, which you should always thaw your turkeys out 3 days in the fridge, not on the counter. And then I make my croutons myself, you know, like I'll cut my bread up and just leave it on the counter for a couple days till it's good and dry. Mix in the onions, the celery, salt and pepper, mix in the organ meats. Mm-hmm. That gives it a really distinct flavor. So if you don't, if you have an aversion to that step, my mom used to fry hamburger.
No,
put the hamburger in.
I'll tell you why I asked you, because for me,
I
got the gizzard. Ah! You darn right I did. And that was the first thing that I got before the main course, right? So, hey, come get the gizzard. And that was mine.
Funny.
Oh, my. And I loved it.
You are one of the few people on earth I know that would eat that besides my dad.
So good. So good.
Well, it's good for you. You know, those kinds of – this is what's wrong with society nowadays is they're missing out on the most flavorful and most healthy parts of everything. You know, I think – one of the people that came to my house, I'm not going to mention who it was, asked me about having bones in my chicken. And I'm like, what? Well, I don't think they'd ever bought anything but chicken breasts, you know, because people don't know how to cut up a chicken.
Do they not know where that came from?
I think from my experience, there are a lot of people that don't know where this stuff came from. And then I get a lot of crap about all my talk about the zombie apocalypse. And so I'm like, someday, you know, we were talking about how there's 3 days worth of food in every grocery store in every town because the trucking system would break down if society ever fell apart. And then you would have to eat wild game. So you better know about how not to waste any of it because, you know, it's not going to maybe last that long. Who knows? But anyway, it's important to know these things about cooking and meat. And then, of course, we never wasted anything in our house.
We need to get to dessert sooner or later, Sue. And there's only – let me just say this. There's only one dessert on Thanksgiving.
And it's
isn't
sweet
there?
Potato
no!
pie.
No, no, it's pumpkin pie. It is pumpkin pie.
Pecan pie, too.
I know.
Pecan.
Those are out in the periphery somewhere, but not at my house.
Now, before we talk about pie, I have to bring up something that I learned while I was looking through what we ate or what the first pilgrims ate on Thanksgiving. There were, you know, Europeans had a lot of strange, you know, like they went through the beaver hat craze. They went through the buffalo hat craze. They went through the bird wing hat craze. They ate peacock. The European aristocrats ate peacock on Thanksgiving. And so there was this correlation made between the peacock spreading its feathers out and the posse of turkeys spreading their feathers out. You know, people are like, yeah, we can substitute them because, you know, we shouldn't be eating. I can't imagine that. But I thought that was the weirdest thing I ever read about turkeys and Thanksgiving. So now we can go on to pumpkin pie. Or
do you
any
make yours
kind of
from
pie.
Scratch, your pumpkin
oh,
pie?
Absolutely. Like. I have this phenomenal crust recipe. And yes, all of you people out there who are vegan, I use lard and butter in my pie crust. I'm sorry. So that's one key to making a good flaky pie crust. And then my grandmother's pumpkin pie recipe doesn't use a puree. She uses sliced pumpkin, just like apple, and you mix it with your spices and your sugar, and you get a much firmer pie, and you can do a double crust that way. Now, I do like whipped cream.
Yep. I was going to ask you about that.
On my pie.
Yep. I hit and miss. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I love it either way. And if I had to choose, I think I would probably take with. Mm-hmm.
And I do make my own pumpkin puree also when I'm making this kind of pumpkin pie. And I will tell you one of my cooking secrets I've never divulged to anyone.
Breaking news.
Before.
This is awesome.
You know how when you're doing your own pumpkin puree, if you have a like I freeze it and you take it out of the freezer, it seems a little bit wet. And you want that to firm up with the eggs and all that kind of stuff. So, and this is a secret I learned from a recipe from Meta Givens, who I have no idea who that is, but it's Meta Givens pumpkin pie if you want to Google it. She takes a sauce or a fry pan, puts that pumpkin in there, and caramelizes that pumpkin. It takes care of that excess water from the freezing process. And then I add my spices to the pumpkin while it's in the pan there. Because, you know, you can do something called blooming a spice, which is actually when you have a little bit of oil in a pan and you put your spice mixture in there and bloom it to make the flavor kind of easier to spread throughout the whole thing. But I always caramelize my pumpkin puree with my spices before I make my pumpkin bread or my pumpkin pie. And it's made a world of difference in the consistency of a homemade pumpkin pie, which truly is homemade when you do stuff like that. So,
yeah.
And
that
yummy.
That's delightful.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Except I have to laugh, you know, going back to the cranberries. You got these young kids that have never seen homemade cranberries or homemade pie or homemade cookies. And they're
apparently homegrown chickens.
Right. They just they veer towards the stuff you can get in a box all the time. So sometimes I end up cooking two meals just to keep the little kids happy.
Do you have any hints on how we can better enjoy leftovers? Not that there's a real trouble enjoying them, but
yes, you want to eat them all you want. Oh, there's nothing I like better than reheated mashed potatoes. I put them in a casserole dish and put them in the oven until they get browner on the outside. I'm a crusty old bag, aren't I? I love everything crusty. And then warm your gravy up, and I'll just eat mashed potatoes and gravy. But I love – okay, first of all, rule number one, absolutely – once you've carved that turkey down and taken all of the stuff off of it that you want, and the oysters are the best part. You know, whoever cleans those bones off usually gets the oysters from the back. And if you guys don't know what that is, Google it, because that's the most moist, tender, best part of any bird is the oyster. And so whoever's cleaning that the meat off the chicken bones, all the bones, the fat – what's left in the pan after you deglaze it if you don't make gravy, you know, throw that. Hey, we never talked about – oh, we did too talk about making gravy a couple weeks ago maybe. But definitely all that goes into the soup pot, because you definitely want to make soup stock out of your turkey bones.
Noodle soup, follow the turkey.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you can, if you like meat in your soup, you save some of the turkey for that. Turkey salad sandwiches are good. I like just plain old sliced turkey, you know, just cold. I don't even warm it up. I eat it cold. And then, of course, the cranberry cream cheese on a piece of whole wheat bread with sliced turkey on the top. Oh, my gosh. This is such a good sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever throw anything away after Thanksgiving.
How big is your bird going to be this year, Sue?
You know, that is a good question. I'm hoping about 20 pounds.
Fair sized.
And then I could, like, I suppose if I get really lazy, just buy the breast part of the bird. I would like to find one from a farm. I had a friend that used to raise turkeys, and I'll tell you, there was nothing better than that. I don't know if you guys have someplace that you can access. Minnesota grows a crap load of turkeys, aren't they, at the Jenny-O capital, you know?
It's a lot, yeah. I mean, there's an entire town that basically smells like turkey processing.
Well, does that... anything like the smell of turkey baking in the oven? Waking up to that smell must
Macy's
have been
Day
phenomenal.
Parade, right? Watching
the parade.
Thanksgiving the Day Parade.
And then A Christmas Story. That's the afternoon movie.
It's a Wonderful Life.
That's my favorite movie. I love that movie. But yeah, the kids
gets us
really
into the
like
season.
Yeah. Yep, and then from then on, it's downhill, right?
Are you one of those people who decorates for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving?
Absolutely.
My hand is raised.
Oh my gosh, no, really?
Yeah, that's when we start. Because the family's around, and it's a family thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we don't have – nobody sees us out in the middle of nowhere. So I've kind of scaled back on decorating. I gave all my vintage – decorations to my kids because I thought I can go to their house and see them on the trees instead of leaving them in my basement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a Grinch tree with Christmas spiders on it. And that's...
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. And how about this? How about closer to Christmas? I will tell you the story of the Christmas spider. I'll include that in one of our episodes.
Yeah.
So, and then that concludes it. Besides a good cup of coffee and maybe a football game. I don't know. Or two.
Absolutely.
You guys must have more than one TV. We have to take turns.
Yes, and a very, very large one downstairs.
So it'll
get used. Let me just say that.
So did we forget anything that people
eat
on Thanksgiving?
Does anybody go around saying what they're thankful for?
Yeah, we try that, but we always get some comedian in the bunch that doesn't take it seriously. Usually it was my dad when we were, you know, kids. That kind of stuff embarrasses people who don't show love in a very verbal or whatever way. That's a very important thing. And I know my daughter-in-law, they are very good about that. Her family is very good about reminding us about that. And there's a lot to be thankful for, although I'm going to say I have been blogging about the year 2023.
Yeah, it's been quite a year for you.
And yes, and I haven't even gotten to the worst of it yet. But that's okay. I couldn't write it while I was doing it.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of revisit it.
And look where we are today, though, Sue.
That's exactly right. So there's a lot to be thankful for that it's going to be 2024 in a couple months.
Okay. Can we spare a moment to just follow up on your health? You had a cancer scare earlier and took you off the air for months.
Yeah. And it really wasn't the cancer. It was the treatment that did it. So, you know, that's the thing is that treating cancer is very difficult. And as you know, November is lung cancer month, and lung cancer is the leading cause of death over the next three cancers combined in the United States. And you just don't hear too much about it. I feel really good. I actually told my doctor, I said, I hope this is okay, but I'm the kind of person that never walks anywhere. I run from here to there, and I am able to do that, and I'm coughing less, and I feel pretty good, but it's still like a little cloud that hangs over your head because cancers are tricky. And so hopefully the immune therapy that I'm going through right now is going to help me remain healthy. So I had that going for me when I started this treatment was the fact that I had been healthy from the way we lived, the exercising, the gardening, the fact that there is now a big report about how toxic indoor air is for you. And I have always believed that people should never work in closed offices. They should always have windows and fresh air. And when I worked at the Capitol, you know, and this is nothing against what they did at the state capitol, but there was, I don't remember, was in the 30s or 40s, they have big, beautiful windows up there, and they sealed them shut. Because one day a wind came by and swept some personal private tax papers out the window, and after that they got a little paranoid about that. But they say they bring in fresh air, but it's something to think about is get outside. Get outside barefoot in the wintertime, in the summertime. And, you know, that is just really important to having good health, I think, and to not catching so many colds. You know, indoor air is really dry and stuff. But, yeah, I feel pretty good, and I feel pretty fortunate that I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
But then my husband seems to forget that there's something wrong with me, and he just doesn't treat me the same as when I was going through treatment. So I'm like, I got to quit acting so healthy. People are going to think there's nothing wrong with me.
Well, we are thankful for you, Sue.
Oh,
we are so glad that you
are
back with us. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sue.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
When you hear arts programming here on Prairie Public, know that it is supported in part by the North Dakota Council on the Arts, and we thank them.
Lots of listeners have complimented Ashley Thornburg's interviewing skills over the years, and so have plenty of her guests.
Hi, my name is Bonnie Sommerfeld. I'm from Fargo, North Dakota, originally Valley City, North Dakota. I love all things Main Street. I'm a total fan. And when I come in to be interviewed by Ashley, it's so wonderful. I'm asked questions that are poignant, and I learn things about myself by answering the questions that I did not even know I had or that existed. So I just always look forward to it, and I hope everybody else does too.
If you appreciate thoughtful questions and hosts that take the time to listen, then step up and support Main Street and all the things you enjoy on Prairie Public with a gift of financial support. Just go to prairiepublic.org and open the red link that says donate.
This is Dakota Datebook for November 23rd. On this date, in 1954, Agnes Gehlen, Secretary and Treasurer of the North Dakota Nonpartisan League, sent a letter on the official letterhead of the NPL's Executive Committee to P.W. Lanier, Jr., a prominent Democratic Party activist. He had invited her to the inaugural meeting of the Democratic Farmer Labor Association the day before, on November 22nd. He had become chairman of this organization, which sought to include progressive Democrats and Leaguers, farmers and organized labor. This new organization was in line with the Democratic State Committee, resolving on November 21st to amalgamate county Democratic Party and nonpartisan league organizations by offering nonpartisan league chairman co-chairmanships in the Democratic Party. Agnes Gehlen missed this inaugural meeting because of a 10-day trip to New York. So on November 23rd, she wrote back to explain that she came home to find that politics have really been humming and apologized for not making it to the association's inaugural meeting. In her letter, Gehlen made her concerns known. Quote, "I am for a realignment, but to me there is nothing gained unless we are to have a real part in the leadership, and unless the liberal policies that have made the Democratic Party the Liberal Party are to be given consideration." She ended with, "I hope to have a talk with you in the near future." Gehlen was North Dakota's first female state senator. She was also a liberal Republican and a prominent leader of the Nonpartisan League at the time. The more right-wing Republican Organizing Committee had wrested control over the Republican Party from the Nonpartisan League, and in response to that development, Gehlen worked with others to move the Nonpartisan League into the Democratic column. 2 years after that inaugural meeting, in 1956, Gehlen became a candidate for the United States House of Representatives on the first ticket of the consolidated Democratic Nonpartisan League Party. The election wasn't even close. Despite NPL support, every statewide Democratic candidate lost. But Agnes Gehlen's efforts helped set the stage. 2 years later, fellow Democrat Quentin Burdick succeeded, winning a congressional seat in 1958. In later years, Gehlen would become a celebrated author, writing two novels. She also wrote a biography, a political obituary of Senator Wild Bill Langer, entitled The Dakota Maverick. Today's Dakota Datebook was written by Andrew Alexis Varvel. I'm Errol Pepcorn.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding from Humanities North Dakota.
That's it for this Thanksgiving edition of Main Street. Thank you for listening. Coming up tomorrow during this time slot, it is The Middle with Jeremy Hobson at 3 o'clock Central and Science Friday at 7 o'clock Central.